Welcome back to the City Journal California podcast. I'm Ben Boychuk, associate editor of City Journal, and joining me for this edition is Daniel DeSalvo. He is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute's Center for State and Local Leadership and an assistant professor of political science at the City College of New York. He's the author of a new paper from the Manhattan Institute. It's called The Nays Have It, When Public Sector Unions Win in California. Daniel DeSalvo, welcome.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
The paper, the second in a series of papers that Manhattan Institute is putting out, and it focuses on public sector unions and their role in California politics. There are a couple of, three measures that are on the ballot coming up with less than a month to go that are particularly relevant to the public employee unions. A couple have to do with taxation, and then another one has to do with the way public employee unions fund their campaigns. And your study kind of takes a long view of public employee union participation in California politics. Just to set the stage a bit, how do public employee unions in California differ from their peers in, say, Wisconsin, where the last great battle over public employee influence has sort of taken place?
Well, the first big difference, and this isn't just a difference about public employee unions, it's a big difference about the state politics of California versus many, many other states, which is the uniqueness of California's direct democracy processes. And in that sense, it provides a whole new avenue for public employee unions to either play defense or play offense and try to win things that they want beyond battles in the state legislature or with the governor, as we saw in Wisconsin.
The initiative process is kind of something that California is famous for, the use, or some would say overuse, of the ballot initiative process. How has that process then been affected by public sector unions? You've taken a look at three decades of initiative campaigns, and what did you find?
Well, that's right. I undertook this project in some ways with a view to, as you put it, take the long view and, in a sense, use the past as prologue to what might happen this fall, or as a means to handicap what might happen this fall. So I looked at all 178 initiatives from 1980 to 2010 and over 30 years. And what I found was that public employee unions were involved in 40% of those campaigns, taking a stance either for or against a measure on the ballot. And what I found was that they were very successful on defense, which is to say that 75% of the measures they opposed were defeated at the ballot box by voters. But on offense, they were also quite strong. And in that sense, they, you know, were able in a way to get almost 50% of the things that they wanted passed. But even those aggregate numbers in some ways overstate their influence. If you look at I isolated out about the top 15 measures that were most important to public employee unions in California. And on those ones where the chips were down and they put all their efforts and money and boots on the ground into winning, they won almost every single time.
Yeah, there are some very important measures in that list. And let's talk a little bit about, let's talk a bit about that list first, because the way that public employee union politics in California has evolved over the years is interesting to see. That one of the top 15 that you mentioned was, for example, Proposition 98, which passed in 1988, and this was the measure that that changed the state constitution to require at least 40% of the general fund be spent on K-12 education. Of course, now in November, the two tax measures on the ballot are both sort of centered around public education funding. Proposition 30 and Proposition 38 would raise taxes, and the way the campaigns tell it, that money is supposed to go to public education. How did the unions sort of make their case over time? When you talk about them going on offense, making the case for example, changing the Constitution to change the way we fund schools. How did they make the case then, and how are they making the case now for higher taxes?
Well, they make the case by using some of their unique advantages as interest groups. They have, unlike other interest groups, they have a steady supply of money coming from dues checkoff mechanisms, and they can use that to funnel into advertising campaigns to get their message out. Insofar as public employee unions share a common workplace, that facilitates communication between the union leadership and the rank and file, such that they can mobilize a cadre of activists to get out and be the, in effect, the boots on the ground, to knock on doors, to work the phone banks. And in that sense, I think what's most striking is those two advantages are unique in some ways to public employee unions, unlike other interest groups. And if you look at their role in Prop 98 and in many of the other really big ticket measures where they were either all out on defense or all out on offense, what you see is that sometimes the public employee unions, and especially the California Teachers Association, is almost the only player. If you take some examples like the two times that education vouchers or other kinds of school reforms have been on the ballot and the unions have opposed them, there's many groups in society that oppose vouchers, but when it came to actually putting down some money and doing some work to oppose them in the ballot process, they were pretty much absent, and the unions became the sole player on the field. And in that sense, they're much more organized than many of their opponents in these key battles.
And, of course, a great example of how the unions and the CTA in particular plays defense is with these so-called paycheck protection measures. And as you were describing, the way they can tap into members' dues for politics. In California, there have been a couple of these measures on the ballot previously. There's another one on the ballot in the upcoming election. It's Proposition 32. It's a little bit different from the last two attempts. The last two measures were aimed specifically at public employee unions. The measure coming up is directed at unions and corporations. And yet the opposition campaign has relied almost exclusively on union funding. And in fact, I think as of this week, I think the California Teachers Association has put in about $19 million to the No campaign. That's pretty much a vindication of your thesis there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's happening. I think if you look at this, including the current battle over Proposition 32, and you look at the other two times when paycheck protection in some form was on the ballot in California, what we see here looking back is that the unions are really outspending supporters of the measure by huge margins. As you mentioned, the CTA has put in about $19 million. By one estimate, there's about $37 million total on the side of opponents of Prop 32, compared to just about $9 million in favor of supporters of the measure. So in that regard, what you often see in some of these big campaigns is not an evenly balanced fight, but an overwhelming set of political resources on one side to very limited on the other.
I know we're not in the endorsement business, and you don't make any endorsements in the paper, but you do offer an analysis of a possible outlook for November, taking into account the record of public employee unions and some of these initiative fights over the years. When you look at Proposition 30, which is Jerry Brown's tax measure, and Proposition 32, which is the paycheck protection measure, and maybe Proposition 38, which has a lot of money behind it but hasn't really tracked very well in the polls, when you look at those, based on what you've seen historically, how does it look?
Well, as you rightly say, political scientists like myself aren't really very good at making predictions, and in many cases our predictions are no better than the best guesses of average citizens. With that caveat in mind, I would say right now the Proposition 30 measure, the tax measure that's supported by Governor Brown and that was written in negotiations with the public employee unions, is going to be a very close call. The polls, the most recent polls that I've seen, give it a very slight majority. When it comes to Proposition 32, following that, I see probably, if I had to make a prediction, that paycheck protection will again go down to defeat in California. The last two times it was on the ballot, it lost by about 6 points both times, and the poll numbers put it right about the same place that it was before. Now, of course, that might change. Issues relating to public employee unions have been much, much more on the national agenda. They've been part of the national conversation with the battles in Wisconsin and New Jersey and elsewhere, and that may mean that California citizens are much more attentive to these issues than they were in the past. Mechanisms like dues checkoff and such are relatively obscure. And that may mean that there's been a shift in political opinion in California, and the vote could be much, much closer when it comes to Proposition 32.
Well, the paper is called The Nays Have It, When Public Sector Unions Win in California. The author, again, is Daniel DeSalvo. To read the paper, you can download it at the Manhattan Institute's website, www.manhattan-institute.org. Daniel DeSalvo, thank you again.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Ben.
And thank you for listening. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cityjournal. And follow us on Twitter at City Journal, all one word, for City Journal and City Journal California. I'm Ben Boychuk. Be well.